But sometimes I can get carried away if I'm taking a point. So please forgive me if that happens. English, Hindi is also my mother language because I was brought up in India. But because I have done a lot of presentations in English, it comes to me easier in English. I will try and balance between the two languages. This program or this topic is very close to my heart because I have been training teachers and working with teachers in England for many, many years. Since the last 3 years, I have moved to Nairobi where I have been working on this program, and I have specialized in doing seminars and longer programs on this particular subject. So for me to try to condense it for you in 3 hours, I'm going to make it's a challenge, but I'm going to try and do it. What I do call this particular topic is Dua, a journey of the soul. Now, obviously, there are two important words in this. One is journey and one is soul. Now, I think we are all familiar. We've heard those words often enough. Journey is a trip, okay, and the soul. Everybody has heard the word before because we have heard Maulana's farmans many a time, and I will be quoting a few times what he has said about that. So as regards to prayer, now what is the role of prayer? We come to say dua 3 times a day, 365 days of the year. Okay, now has this become a mechanical thing for us? Are we saying dua because we are supposed to say dua? Are we saying dua because we know what we are saying? Are we saying dua because we know what the dua is going to do for us? Some of us are going to say yes to one question, some will say to all three. Today, I hope that if I am able to give you an insight as to what is this journey that we do 3 times, din mein 3 baar, hum ek musafri karte hai jab dua padte hai. Ye musafri apne ruh ki hoti hai. Wo main koshish karne wali hu aapko batane ki hum jab 3 times dua padte hai ki hum kaisa ruh ko aage lete hai aur upar lete hai dua ke darmiyan, through the dua. Okay, so before I proceed, I want just to tell you that what is the role of prayer. Okay, dua is salat, is prayer. Uski zarurat kya rehti hai? One, I think, is very important, is that it is to transform us, to change us. Now, do we feel transformed? Hum dua padte tabhi hamare dil mein kuch aisa fark lagta hai ki aaj mujhe dua padi to mujhe kuch achha laga. Agar wo lagta hai to roz lagna chahiye. Aur roz lagega to aaste 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 karke humko samajh padenge ki dua se humko kya milta hai. So I hope ki intellectualize, jab hum samjhenge ki ye kyun humko aisa lag raha hai, tabhi you will see ki aapko itna, you will feel very comfortable that why is this prayer, what is it supposed to do for me, and yes, it is doing this for me. Not because we are told by Sultan Mawasha, I think he has said it, ki dua be minute wagar ni bihi badi ban ki paya wagar ni che. Okay, so is that why we are praying, that otherwise nothing else is important? Let us do a lot of soul searching. Let us do a lot of thinking inside of us. Because so many times we have heard things told to us. But do we go away and introspect ourselves? Do we go and inspect ourselves from the inside if we have heard something new? Okay, another thing is that dua is also like a sharia for us. Sharia is a rule. It is the exoteric form of salat. Okay, we have to perform it because it is part of the, it's part of our tariqah. It is part of the tariqah of the Shia Imam Ismaili Muslims to say the dua. Alright? So we are talking of what is Sharia, the rules of the religion, yeah? That everything has to have an exoteric, but remember that we are a spiritual faith, we are an esoteric faith. So therefore, there has to be an esoteric along with the exoteric. Bahar se jo hum karte hai, uski andar kuch ne kuch meaning ya maina hoti hai, wo maina hum samajhte hai, wo main puch rahi hun. Now, prayer should transcend us, should send us to another level. Forwards and upwards. Prayer should give us humility. Does it do that? Abhi hum sijda karte hain, to humko pata hai ki sijda yani hum Allahumma lakas sujudi wa ta'ati. O Allah, to thee alone is my prostration. लेकिन हम उसका मीनिंग क्या है, हम प्रोस्ट्रेट करते हैं तो कौन सा हमारा बॉडी का पार्ट हम नीचे करते हैं सर? ठीक है चिल्ड्रन, व्हेन यू डू सजदा व्हाट गोज डाउन? योर हेड. व्हाट इज इनसाइड योर हेड? योर ब्रेन. ओके, नाउ द ब्रेन इज विथ व्हाट यू थिंक. द ब्रेन इज व्हाट मेक्स यू प्राउड. द ब्रेन इज व्हाट मे गिव्स यू ईगो. सो व्हेन वी आर डूइंग सजदा वी आर टेलिंग गॉड दैट आई एम पुटिंग माय हेड डाउन टू यू बिकॉज आई एम हम्बल. You are great, you are everything, I am nothing. Now do we know that when we pray, or we just go down with our chin and we come up again because everybody is going down and up? Okay, so next time you put your head down, you know why you're doing it. You're telling God, I am submitting my brain, which is the topmost part of my body, to you, God. Okay? Another thing, ki hum dua mein kya karte? We lift our hands up, yeah, during second part, fourth part. Now what are we doing? Allahumma ya maulana anta salam wa minka salam. Oh Allah, bring in peace, give us peace. So what are we doing? We are asking, we are supplicating ki hame kuch dena aap. When we do that, you know, we have to assume that he has given it to us. Agar humne Allah se manga to hum khali haath to nahi jane wale. तो वो क्या है कि जब हम हाथ ऊपर करते हैं तो इट्स नाइस टू पुट इट ओवर योर फेस बिकॉज यू हैव ऑलरेडी रिसीव्ड द ब्लेसिंग्स. ओके, सो दैट इज अनदर इम्पोर्टेंट थिंग. नाउ थर्डली, वी जब हम दुआ पढ़ते हैं तभी नीज के ऊपर हाथ रखते हैं. नाउ डू वी नो व्हाई वी डू दैट? यू सी इन इस्लाम, यू नो, वी वर इन मुस्लिम्स. बिफोर दे वर मुस्लिम्स दे वर पेगन्स. इन द काबा दे यूज टू बी लॉट्स एंड लॉट्स ऑफ आइडल्स. ओके, मूर्ति पूजा करते थे. तो जब भी इस्लाम हुआ, जब भी पैगंबर नबी ने इस्लाम स्प्रेड किया, तभी ऐसे लोग थे बहुत कम जो बदलते थे, हो एक्सेप्टिंग इस्लाम. तो इन लोग डरते थे कि शायद ये जो हम मूर्ति को पूजते हैं वो शायद हमारे पे गुस्सा हो जाए. तो अभी हम क्या करें, हम मूर्ति को लेके बैठेंगे तो हम जब सिजदा करेंगे तो मूर्ति को भी सिजदा हो सकता है कि वो हमारे हाथ में है. सो यू क्या है बोलते हैं ना, पैर इधर भी और टू साइडेड, राइट? सो कन्विक्शन, व्हाट डिड इमाम से इन 1994 इन लंदन, दैट योर फेथ हैज टू बी वन ऑफ कन्विक्शन ऑफ द माइंड ऑफ द हार्ट एंड ऑफ द सोल. टोटल कन्विक्शन. सो देयरफॉर जब हम हाथ रखते हैं, दैट्स व्हाई इस्लाम सेड ओपन योर हैंड्स एंड पुट इट ऑन योर नीज. यू आर डिक्लेयरिंग दैट यू आर टोटली सबमिटिंग टू अल्लाह अलोन. ओके, बट अ लॉट ऑफ द टाइम्स नाउ वी हैव गॉन बैक टू पुटिंग आवर हैंड्स हियर. या सो इफ वी नो व्हाई, बिकॉज जब ये दुआ बनी तभी इमाम हैज बीन थ्रू एवरी सिंगल एक्शन, व्हाट शुड बी डन एट व्हाट टाइम. नाउ इफ इमाम हैज टेकन द ट्रबल एंड इयर्स टू गिव अस अ दुआ, देन वी डू नॉट हैव द राइट टू पुट आवर हैंड्स अप व्हेन वी वांट एंड टू पुट आवर हैंड्स ऑन आवर नीज व्हेन वी वांट, बिकॉज दिस वाज डिक्लेयर्ड. It's only that we are not reminded often enough, so we forget. Yeah? So I'm just giving you the few actions which we do every day. So just for something for you to think that this is why we have these certain actions in the dua. Okay, now I'm just going to give you a little bit of how I'm going to conduct this program, because if I'm calling this a journey of the soul, I'm going to take you through the concepts. Now a journey has two things. मुसाफर पे निकलते, मुसाफरी पे, तो दो चीज तो चाहिए कि कहीं से निकलना है और कहीं पहुंचना है. ठीक है, वो तो पता होना चाहिए कि टिकट काटेंगे तो आपको पता होना चाहिए कि मैं कहाँ जा रही हूँ और आप कौन से स्टेशन पे हो, वो तो आपको पता है. तो जर्नी का ये दो इंट्रेंसिकली एक्चुअली गोज पार्ट ऑफ द होल थिंग. हम मुसाफर पे जाते हैं तो वी नो वेयर वी आर गोइंग फ्रॉम एंड वी होपफुली नो वी आर गोइंग वेयर वी आर गोइंग टू. Yeah, we're not going to get off halfway through the journey, because then it's not a complete journey. Okay, so I'm going to take you through the route of this journey. अगर आप कोई नहीं देख सके तो please या तो आगे आ जाइए या तो मुझे कहिए. We know. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From Allah we have come, to Allah we go. Alright, that is one thing we know. When we are born, we only know one thing, that we will die. We don't know if we are going to be 5 years old or 15 or 50 or 90. But we know that one day we will die. So we have come from Allah, and to Allah we will return. So where is our beginning of our journey? Was from Allah. Now we are going to see how through the dua we are going back to Allah through the six parts of the dua. Every single day you are making this journey. Okay. Now, first part of dua. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. What is Alhamdulillah? All praise is due to Allah. Have we thought about the meaning? If all praise is due to Allah, is there any praise left for us? Okay, look at it that Allah is the supreme and all praise is due to Him. So if somebody praises, or if you think you have acquired or achieved something in life and you get praised for it, people will always say, Alhamdulillah. Don't praise me, all praise is due to Allah. But are we only doing lip service to this? Are we really saying, I know, I am great. Let me just say Alhamdulillah, but I don't mean it. But we are saying in the dua, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. So let us remember this the next time. That if something good is happening, it's only because Allah has willed it will happen to you. Alright? And if He had not willed it, because you have submitted to Him, He will will it. And you give Him the praise. Alright? It will make a difference, because that is the faith says that only Allah is perfect. In India, Imam said in Malia Hatina, I think it was in 1987 or 89, that only Allah is perfect. Man cannot be perfect. Yeah, so don't even feel bad if you have made mistakes, because only Allah is perfect. Yeah. But I want you to extend that. What else are we saying in the first part? We're calling Him Rahman, Rahim. Ar-Rahman is Rahim, beneficent, merciful. Okay, we're giving Him attributes. We are describing Him, because there's no other way of knowing Allah except through His attributes. You must have heard of 99 names of Allah. Yes, we've got books or we've got nice pictures. Alright, now why do we think, why in Islam it's important to know the attributes of Allah? Why do we name our children Kareem, Rahim, Fatima, Zora? Why? Because we want them to have the qualities of God. The 99 names are qualities of God, and we like to give the responsibility or the privilege to our children by giving them those names, saying, now you become this, you become kind, you become gentle, you become Nasir. You see, we give these names to our children in the hope that they will start behaving or becoming that attribute of God, and then achieving purity. Okay, now I'm going to move back a bit, and I'm going to tell you, talk about the soul, because unless we understand what is the soul, where is the soul? This is a search, it's such a word that you've heard so often. But have we stopped to think, where is in our body? For example, if I was just to drop dead here, there's nothing in me that is going to go missing. Only one thing. My soul. That is eternal. My body is not. It is temporary. It will finish. But because the soul is eternal, and yet Imam has told us many times that it is only your soul in this physical life that is eternal. So if... in Maulana, I don't know if you heard of the poet Rumi. Yeah, Jalaluddin Rumi. He is supposed to be the most widely read poet in the world today. Okay? And he speaks of pure love of God and Sufism. Now, he has written essays called Fihi Ma Fihi. In those essays, he has described ke soul kya cheez, kaisi kahan hai aur kaisi hai. Rumi says ke we exist on three levels. We exist on the physical level, we exist on the mental, intellectual, or he calls it jismani, which is physical, or khayali, which is intellectual, or ruhani, which is spiritual. If we exist on these three levels. Now, he says that obviously we know that the physical level is the material, okay, it's the body. How do we access the physical level? Through our five senses. We have sense of smell, touch, sight, hearing, taste. Okay, so through these five things, we know our body, or we know the outside world through these five things. Now, if this body is very gross, it is very material, is supposed to be very heavy and very temporary. But if you go into your khayal, if you go into your mind, okay, you may be sitting here. I don't know how many of you are really here. How many of you have gone home? How many of you have gone to school? How many of you have gone to the holidays? Your bodies are here. Your mind would be somewhere else. So you see, that part of you, your body is very much here. Now that I said to you, where are you? You started to think, am I still here? Oh, did I just go out for a bit? My friends are outside. If your mind is somewhere else, it shows that your mind is so powerful that it can leave your body. It can take you away somewhere else. Now, what Rumi says is that because the intellectual or the mental level is much more subtle, less gross, less bounded, it is through the mind only we can access the spiritual. You cannot access the spiritual through the body. But in order to access it through the mind needs to be pure and cleansed. Okay? The more we do impure things, now again our body comes in here, because we can do impure acts or bad things with our body. We can steal, we can beat people or whatever. That is our body doing it. Now, if our mind tells us, don't do these things, these are wrong, then you're already purifying your actions, improving the way you're acting. And therefore your mind is becoming pure. Now, according to Rumi, he says that the body is the veil for the thought, and the mind is the veil for the soul. So we need to remove these veils so we can access our soul. Some of you who sit for bandagi, it's not just easy to sit down your body and physically say, right, I'm saying my word and I'm gone. No, because your body aches, your legs ache, your body reminds you. But if you are in the habit, and also another thing that can happen is that thoughts that can come to you for the day, not very nice thoughts. So if we find that we are purifying our action, agar hamare amal acche hote hai, to khayal acche ho jate. Khayal acche ho jate, to automatically the route to the soul is much more pure. It's much clearer, because there is a feel-good factor. There's a feel-good factor in your mind which will access your soul very easily. Okay? Now the soul is the purest form. It's the only thing that is going to remain with forever. Okay? The body is not. Now the mind is also the battleground for both devilish and angelic elements. Evil thoughts, bad thoughts can darken the mind and makes access to the soul difficult, and it becomes heavy and materialistic. And the more heavy and the more evil thoughts or deeds we are doing, the more far we are going from our spiritual. So it's not possible that in the daytime in our business we are cheating and robbing people, and then in the night we still get up for bandhi and we expect to be able to see that, Mola, where is the light? Okay, that is very difficult. And I think Imam, in 1973 in Bombay, he has said that you have to balance your life between the spiritual and the material, and you will be judged if you have not balanced. Now, I have not heard Imam say it very often, that you will be judged. Okay, so basically, we're going to come to that, the judgment, as we're going on this journey. So how do we remove ourselves from the state and go to a higher and more subtle state? There are ways we can do it, to refine ourselves. So what we need to do to cleanse our mind, we need to pray more. We need to be humble. We need to serve others. This is very important in Islam, service to others. And of course, to bring in generosity, brotherhood, and other angelic qualities. Now you remember, these are the things you can do. You need the body for that. In order to serve somebody else, you need your body. So again, we say the body is the temple of the mind, of the soul. It houses the soul. You only have one chance to move the soul forward back from this journey to Allah while it is in the body. So without the body, your soul cannot actually perform what it wants to do. So the interconnection is absolutely, you can't divide it. Usko alag nahi kar sakte. Jo din mein hum karte hai, to hamara ruhani halat ko zarur affect hota hai. تو ہمارے ایک ایک خیال اور ایک ایک ہمارے اعمال اس کا ہم کو روحانی اور اس میں بندگی میں ضرور فرق پڑتا ہے. تو کیسے یہ کرتے ہیں, کیسے ان کو بہتر کرتے ہیں, تو دو چیز ہوتی, ایک چیز ہوتی نیت. اسلام میں نیت بہت امپورٹنٹ ہے کہ تمہاری نیت کیا تھی, کیوں اللہ نیت دیکھتا ہے کہ آپ کا انٹینشن کیا تھا. نہیں میں نے یہ باہر سے ایسا لگ رہا ہے, لیکن نیت صرف وہ جانتا ہے. ایکشن انسان جج کرے گا, دیکھو اس نے ایسا کیا, لیکن آپ کا اگر دل کہتا ہے میری نیت ایسی نہیں تھی کرنے کے لیے, دین دیٹ از انف, گاڈ نوز یور انٹینشن. سو دیر از نو فولنگ گاڈ. Once your intention is clean, and it's not just in Islam. I don't know if anybody has read the book called The Seat of the Soul by Zhukov. It is a bestseller for years and years in America. And he's very clear in that. He says that the first and only way of accessing your soul is through pure intention. What do you intend to do? Then it is followed by intention. Niyat ke baad kya aati hai? Amal aati hai. Maine kya socha aur aisa hi kiya. لیکن سوچ اٹلے خیال از اتنی پاورفل چیز ہے, اٹ کنٹرولز یور ایکشنز. سو ٹرائنگ ٹو کیپ دا انٹینشن گڈ, انٹینشن پیور. ہاؤ وی ہیو ویز اینڈ مینز آف نوئنگ واٹ از دا رائٹ اینڈ واٹ از رانگ, رائٹ, اینڈ وی ہیو این امام آف دا ٹائم, اینڈ وی ول سی واٹ از آور ریلیشن شپ وتھ ہم. That why is it that it is so clear to us? You have been told the things you are told to do, what to do, and you have been told the things you are not to do. It's very clear. 1973 Bombay. You have been told. So I don't have to tell you again. You're grown up now. You know what is right and you know what is wrong. Therefore, if you do not do it, you will be judged. Very clear. But what is it in the dua? It is in the dua. Going back to the next level now, Allah through his qualities we've seen in the first part, and you will see that all the time you will follow O sustainer, Allahumma ya mol, Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana. We're asking him because he is the only one who can give. Okay, we are supplicating, we are becoming humble. Through the dua you will see Allah's attributes, and through that you will understand that why they are there is because we need to emulate them. We have come from him, he has made us in his image, and we are only going back to him. There is no other way to go back. Okay, because in Chandra Tharmans we are told always that he does not want ke ek rooh gunegar hoke wapas jaye. Okay, abhi Allah ke paas se aate hain messengers. Okay, now the next concept that is in the dua, and I'll tell you the part, is nubuwa. Nubuwa is prophethood. Now in Islam, okay, I'm just going to read out a quotation to you. Allah said, or do you wonder that a reminder has come to you from your Lord through a man from among you that he may warn you? That is Surah 73, Ayat 63-69. We did send apostles before you and made for them wives and children, and it was never the part of an apostle to bring a sign except Allah, as Allah commanded. For each period is a book. 13, Surah 13, 144. So here in the Quran it is very clear that all our prophets are going to be men. They may have wives, they may have children, and they're going to warn us. Okay, they're going to be a warner, and he'll bring us signs to tell us what to do. So what is the role of a prophet? Let us look at the second part. O ye who believe. How does the second part start? Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. O ye who believe. Do we believe? Okay, what do we believe? Do we believe that the Prophet has come from Allah? Okay. Right, if we do believe that the Prophet has come from Allah and he is what he is telling us, because Allah has said very clearly in the Quran, he is going to warn us. Are we heeding his warnings? Because yes, we are saying we believe. Okay, if we believe, then where is the conviction? We are saying in the dua, O ye who believe, we are doing the sijda in the dua. But are we acting out that belief? It is the conviction of the heart, the mind and the soul. That conviction has to come through your actions. Okay, we have guidance. Islam has had natiq. There are six natiqs. And natiqs are the prophets, like the Quran says, the one who brings a book. Of course, there have been many prophets. I know in our Ginans, bolte ek lakh chovis hazar peygamber the. Lekin jo chhe natiq hai, that is what Islam says, that it is the prophets that have brought a book. Okay, the finality of the prophet is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Okay, so that is the cycles, six cycles of prophethood. Okay, now often you have heard that the Bible says that God created the world in 6 days. What is Islam's belief on creation? What did Allah have to say? Kun. Allah said kun, be, and the world was created. Alright, so the six, what the Bible says that God created the world in 6 days, it is the six natiq according to Ismaili interpretation. The six prophets that came from Prophet Adam, Prophet Noah, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So the six prophets are the six natiqs, and so Islam is not only Prophet Muhammad. Islam is an Abrahamic tradition. Some of you must have heard that from Imam Sharma. Why is it Abrahamic? Because it encompasses every prophet before Islam, before Muhammad. So we are not only Muslims, we can be Jews, we can be Christians, and Prophet Noah and Ibrahim and Noah, because all those prophets are within Islam. Alright? So this prophet, all the prophets are then culminated in the final prophet and the final message, which is the Quran. So once that message, once the prophethood has come, the role of the prophet is the receiver of the message or the tanzil. The tanzil comes from Allah as a message, okay? We know, we get come for all night on the 23rd night in Ramadan, yes? Laylatul Qadr. Why? Because that is the night of the revelation of the Quran. It is the purest night. It is like 1,000 nights. 1,000 months. The equivalent of one night of Laylatul Qadr is like praying for 1,000 months. I think somebody calculated it, and it's more than 83 years or something. So that is why the Quran is the being, the, and Hazrat Imam has known to have said that the only miracle in Islam is the Quran. So it was a revelation from God to the Prophet. So if we are accepting Nubuwa, now we know, we are saying in the second part of the dua, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Obey Allah, obey the prophets, and then obey the imams. Alright? Now, so if the prophets have received the tanzil from God, then we're looking at the seventh cycle, which is the cycle of imama. Alright? So we are moving on this journey. We have got a very nice quote here, if I can find it. Imam Sultan Mahmud, Imam Shah Karim al-Husseini, Hazrat Imam said on his birthday, 13th December 1964, let us recite the Salwat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. For hundreds of years, my spiritual children have been guided by the rope of Imamat. You have looked to the Imam of the time for advice and guidance in all matters. And through your Imam's immense love and affection for his spiritual children, his Noor has indicated to you where and in which direction you must turn so as to obtain spiritual and worldly satisfaction. Salawat Allahumma salli ala. So here imam ka noor, imam khud kehte hai ki mera noor barson, hundreds of years se mere bacche ko guidance de raha hai, mera noor. Alright, the same words wo kehte in the constitution. He has declared in the Ismaili constitution that it is the imam's light that will shine on the path to spiritual enlightenment and vision. This is a public document. He signed it on his 50th birthday. It is sitting in libraries anywhere in the world. And he has declared that it is the imam who holds temporal, zero, holds spiritual allegiance from his children, and it is his noor, or his light, that guides the light, his light that shows us the path to spiritual enlightenment and vision. What is this path? It's in the first part, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Alright, so what is the Sirat al-Mustaqim? It is the path that the Imam shows us. How does he show it to us? Through what? Through his farmans. Alright, why is it that his farmans have got light? The Imam is the man. We don't say Imam of Ismailis, Imam of the age and time. Anybody who is accepting Imam, he is his Imam. The Imam is a man, has got what is called the Ta'wil. Alright, he has got the inner. He has got, Imam has been appointed by Nas, which is a spiritual appointment. It's not an election, it's not a selection. It is a spiritual appointment. One Imam has appointed another Imam. So through the mazhar of Allah, through the light of Allah, he has been inspired to appoint another Imam. So that ta'wil is passed from Imam to Imam. That ta'wil has got, is the essence of the Quran. We need the Quran interpreted for us according to the time we're living in. If you try to read the Quran, it is a very beautiful book to read, but you are allowed to interpret it as you wish. Now, I will give you some of the titles of Imam that are in the Quran. Rasikun fil ilm, those well grounded in knowledge. Insan e kamil, the perfect man. In the dua, we are calling the Imam pure. We are saying evidence of your authority. The Imams are the Hujjatil Amra. Allah ka authority ka evidence hai, hujja hai. The chosen one, the hero. Now we are declaring all this as in the dua. Okay, now if I was to start quoting the dua, then it's going to take a lot of time, but I think ke dua ki meaning to kafi aap log jante hoge, jamaat khane mein bhi programs hote hoge. To ye sab hum kehte hain dua mein ke imam, you are the chosen one, you are the hero, you are the pure. Okay, give us security. We're saying that he is going to give us security. Why? You know, there is a very important aspect, or I would say a concept in Ismailism called walaya. Walaya is when there is devotion to Imam. It is part of the Ismaili. If you are an Ismaili, automatically that is part of the whole tariqah, that you have devotion to Imam. Now, how many of us have heard the farman that has said that the Imam loves you more, much more than you can ever love him? Have we heard that farman? Yeah? And yet we say we love him. Okay, what did he say on his 13th birthday, on the 13th of December, on his birthday in 64? He has talked of love. His immense love and affection for his spiritual children. Alright? Now how are we showing, if walaya is part of the concept of being an Ismaili, how do we show him love? It's part of the deal. We have to see, if he is your spiritual father, he is our spiritual mother, how do you show your mother and father love? Okay, just imagine, because biggest thing is that there is one element which is called taqwa. Taqwa is that being aware of the presence of Allah at all times. Just being conscious that he is there. Because if we say that he is all-encompassing and he is the eminent, then he is everywhere. So taqwa is a very important Islamic concept of behaving and acting as if Allah is always present. So in that way, if we are saying that Imam is evidence of the authority of Allah on this earth, and if we say that walaya is part of the necessities of Ismailism, then we have to show him how we love him by knowing, by accepting what his farman is, and by carrying them through in our lives. And another thing he's always told us, intellectualize your faith. How many of us sit to understand that when we come to pray dua, why are we drinking niyaz? Why are we going to Mukhi Sahib for dua karavi? Why are we saying tawbah tawbah? Are we walking out of here after saying tawbah tawbah and doing exactly the same thing? We don't know if tomorrow we will be back at this Jamaat Khana. We don't know. None of us knows what's going to happen once we go out of here. So once we do the dua, are we saying that we are not going to come back tomorrow having done the same thing that we did tawbah today? So that introspection has to be ongoing in us. Because, you know, at any moment, time will stand still for this body. So being aware, intellectualizing your faith. He has said in Dar es Salaam in 1986, that, and many other places, Australia as well, that there are three premises you build your life on. One, that you always intellectualize your faith. Second, balance your life between spiritual and material. Third, start a personal search. Today you are here because this is a personal search. You want to search that, why am I praying? What is the dua? What is the meaning? One person was very, because in Nairobi I run these as workshops. We break down into groups of 10 and we discuss. One of them said, I found the dua so boring. Every day saying it. After doing this program, she says, suddenly there's a light bulb in my head. Oh my God, is this what I'm saying? Yeah, so mechanically, if we're doing it and understanding and doing it, it'll just transform you, it'll just transcend you. Because in order to go on this journey, you need to move. If we are stuck, we can't stay in one place, we have to go forward. Otherwise, you know, you're not moving. And then time will come to an end. So in order to move, these are the three things we do. Intellectualize your faith, start a personal search, balance between spiritual and material. Now, وَكُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. And, that is from the Quran, that is in the dua. And we have vested everything in the manifest Imam. What everything? Everything so that he can translate or he can bring the Quran to us according to the age and time. So if we say, do we read the Quran? I know we're living here in Islamic society and aap log Quran padhte, aap log namaz padhte, aap log roza rakhte. What answers do we give? Because we don't know, we haven't intellectualized the faith. So we don't know. We know that there are five pillars of Islam. Yeah? But when we get questioned like that, how confident are we to answer? What are we doing? We are Muslims. We have our own tariqah. Remember the word I brought in? Sharia. Then we have tariqah. Now I'm moving forward to another word. Okay? We know this is a ladder. We're moving to haqiqah. Haqiq is what? Truth. What truth is there in our religion? That we can stand up, humko jab alwaiz utte, haqiqat hi momin kehte. Lekin haqiqat hum jante hain. Haqiqat kya hai? Haqiqat hai kya for an Ismaili is to understand what is the Imam of the time to us. That is the truth we need to understand. We are so confused. The Quran says, I will send you a man who will have a wife and a child. Because all prophets came as men. But because we are living at a time where Islam is being questioned. And now we are becoming insecure. Okay? Hazrat Imam is a man. And he has a wife and he has children. And we are confused. But has any other prophet come as any other form? No. Always as man. So where does the problem lie? The problem lies in our insecurity because we are not taking the trouble to inform ourselves of what is the truth of our faith. And what is the basis of the Imam. Okay? So walaya, love for Imam comes because he has got the knowledge of the Quran, he has got the purity and he is the evidence of God's word on earth. Okay, so in order to understand that he is the medium of passing this Quran on to us, I will move to the next stage now.